Welcome back to the Real Questions with Claire podcast. If you've been with us from the start, I'm so glad you joined again. But if you're tuning in for the first time, do go back and listen to the previous episodes so you can just get a feel of what we're trying to achieve with this podcast. So today's episode, today's question links to the previous one, which was, isn't it time for Black people to outgrow Christianity? And this is asking the question, hasn't science cancelled God? So many people would say, do you know what? Science is advancing us into the future. We have seen the rise of AI and we know there's so many benefits, but also many risks as well. But surely, surely in 2024, science is our savior, not God. Welcome to the Real Questions with Claire podcast, where we keep it real by asking questions. This is a space for Black Christians who know the challenges of living out your faith in this 2024. Each week, we look at a question of culture, faith or doubt, and consider how we might respond. Let me preface this episode by saying, I am not a scientist. All right. I am not a scientist. I'm not going to sit here and say that I am. I'm doing PhD research in the social sciences, specifically sociology. But I do believe I can make, like everybody else, observations about science. All right. And I say that because often you might hear someone say something like, I don't believe in God. I believe in science. Or I don't believe in God because we've got science. Many times when people come to that conclusion, they themselves are not scientists, but with their working knowledge of being in the world, knowing things about science, they take that position. Today, I'm looking at the question, hasn't science cancelled God? With a working knowledge of how science interacts with the world, just like the person who says they don't believe in God, but they trust science. All right, I'm making these observations in that same kind of premise, okay, in that same kind of position. All right, so I'm not here to say and be somebody I'm not. I'm here to just make some observations that hopefully will be helpful to us. Because I think the question kind of makes us have this false dichotomy that we have to choose between God or science. And I just don't think that's the case. So the three ways we're going to look at this, if the question is, hasn't science cancelled God? Then we're going to have to examine, what do we mean by God? All right. Secondly, we're going to examine what we mean by science. And finally, what are the limits of science? I would contend that science, unlike the phrase, I don't believe in God, I believe in science, suggests science has limitations. In fact, taking that view to a certain extent makes science, ironically, into a God, sets it up on a very, very high pedestal that I think we need to appreciate the discipline of science. Absolutely. As a Christian, I see no conflict with what science can tell us about the world, but we just need to get some of these definitions clear. And so to our first one, how have we defined God, or how do we define God in today's topic? I think for many people, when they're confronted with the idea of God versus science or God or science, the reason that they feel they have to choose science is that God seems like a lazy explanation. Yeah, often when we think of God, we think about God and his alleged incompatibility with science. We think of a certain type of God, namely God of the gaps. So this is the idea that if we can't explain some sort of phenomenon, we put God in a placeholder. But as soon as we're able to explain something previously unknown or not understood, the need for such a God vanishes. And that's the kind of God of the gaps idea. Well, I think we can challenge this view. And I'm going to be borrowing some ideas from Professor John Lennox, or Emeritus Professor of Mathematics at Oxford University, John Lennox. And he says this in his book, Can Science Explain Everything? Really recommend it if you want to kind of get into this topic. It's quite short, and he explains things in a really clear and accessible way. He says, that's the kind of God the ancient Greeks believed in. The Greeks didn't understand lightning, so they invented a God of lightning to explain it. However, a little atmospheric physics at any modern university soon shows you that the belief in such a God is unnecessary. The God of the Bible is not a God of the gaps. He is the God of the whole show. He is the God of the bits of the universe we don't understand and the bits we do. Really interesting distinction there that Lennox helps us to make. And there's clear echoes there to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God is God over all of creation, not used to fill in gaps of creation that we don't understand. See the difference there. But I also think John Lennox in that quote there shows us, he models for us how we should take seriously and respect the very different claims that religions make about their beliefs. So as a Christian, I believe that God is a personal God. However, there are other religions who conceive of God as an impersonal ultimate reality. So if we're saying that, you know, I don't believe in God, I believe in science. Well, which kind of God are you refuting here? Let's be very specific. Let's not be equally lazy and sort of bung all worldviews into the same category. So when we're talking about God and we're talking about the God of the Bible, we are not talking about a God of the gaps. We're not trying to use God as a lazy explanation for things we don't understand. What we're saying is that because God exists, through him, through the lens of a theistic worldview, we are able to make sense of the world. And science is a part of that sense-making process. For bespoke training in Christian apologetics for your small group or church, to explore questions like, does God exist? How can God be good when there's so much suffering in the world? And is Christianity the white man's religion? Drop an email to hello@realquestions.co.uk. But point number two, what do we mean by science? Well, this idea that only science can be relied upon to tell us true things about the world or give us answers to life's biggest questions and to lead us marching on into the future to time's beating drum, it originates from this idea of logical positivism, all right? The Vienna Circle from 1924 to 1936, a group of thinkers across different disciplines who came together. And according to Alistair McGrath in Science and Religion, An Introduction, he explains the movement of the Vienna Circle, the logical positivism, like this. One of the most fundamental themes of the group was that beliefs must be justified on the basis of experience. And he talks about the work of David Hume. For this reason, the members of the group tended to place a particularly high estimation on the methods and norms of the natural sciences, which were seen as the most empirical of human disciplines. So the assumption that we have in culture that science and science alone is able to tell us all the things that are worth knowing about the world, it's coming from a certain school of thought, logical positivism, which still even exists today, even in academia, where you've got lots of people who push against the idea of logical positivism, and you've had the rise of sort of postmodern ideas. I think when it comes to science versus God, they may well still kind of lean into this position here. So science is a great academic discipline, and we can employ it to make observations and predictions about the world. However, there's this other thing that we need to kind of drill down on, and this is scientism. So science is a fantastic discipline. As a Christian, I see no problem with engaging with the sciences, and I think we need more Black Christians need to get involved in the world of science. Drawing on the roots of logical positivism, scientism is the belief that only scientific knowledge can tell us worthwhile things about the world. Kind of like the Smarties advert from back in the day. Any millennials, you might know this, all right? That only Smarties has the answer. Well, according to scientism, only science has the answer. Now, that might seem, I don't know, on the surface to be true, but I think that if it is true, it creates quite a scary, narrow view of life. So what do I mean by that? If I was to ask you, why do you love X person, why do you love them? So you could explain to me scientifically why you love them and how your body reacts to seeing them. So when you see, let's say when you see Bob, all right, your heart rate begins to increase, your eyes begin to dilate, synapses start firing, chemical reactions are going off in your body, and you could explain that you love Bob scientifically. You can explain it according to what's happening in your body biologically. Or you could explain, I love Bob because I trust him. Okay, Bob is loyal. That's why I love Bob. And Bob makes me feel secure. Now, both of those explanations are true. The descriptions are what happens to you biologically when you see Bob, and it kind of lets you know, yeah, I'm in love with this guy, possibly infatuated, all right? But also the description that you gave of all the reasons why you love Bob, that is also true. Now, you can't measure scientifically Bob's loyalty in the same way that you could measure your heart rate. Your heart skips a beat when you see Bob. You can't, you can measure that scientifically, but you can't measure in the same way loyalty. But both explanations are true. And so what's the point of me saying this? Science does a certain job, but it can't answer, it can't explain all the things that we experience in life. But I think the legacy of logical positivism and the kind of cultural scientism that we have, the scientism that we have existing in our culture makes science the font of all knowledge, all right? You'll see articles that say, scientists have found X. And because scientists, we don't even know what kind of scientists they are, all right? Therefore, it's true. Now, I'm not here to disparage science at all. I hope that's abundantly clear in what we're discussing. I think science is a much needed discipline, and it's helped many people in different fields and in different areas of life. However, there are limits. And so I would like to say that God and science are not mutually exclusive. Science is a praiseworthy discipline, but it has its limitations. And I'm going to share a quote here from Nobel Prize winning scientist Peter Medawar. And this quote is from a book aptly named The Limits of Science. And he says, a distinction must be drawn between questions of the kind science can answer and questions belonging to some other world of discourse. I'm going to say that one more time. A distinction must be drawn between questions of the kind science can answer and questions belonging to some other world of discourse. Now, there are scientists that take the scientism position, which is kind of only science can give us the answer to life. And, you know, if science can't give us the answer, then perhaps the question isn't even worth answering. One such person is Peter Atkins. Do have a look on YouTube. I'll leave a link in the show notes to a dialogue or debate that he had with John Lennox. Very, very interesting. So we're coming into land shortly. That's all good. Stay with me. We're coming into land. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast, and follow for more on social media at Real Questions UK. So I'm going to say this next part of the podcast with a bit of a trigger warning, because it does refer to the coronavirus pandemic, and talking about this may well bring up, memories of maybe loved one that we lost. And if that's something that you experienced, don't feel any need to keep listening, but I just wanted to give you the opportunity to prepare yourself for what I'm about to say, right? So what are the limits of science? Now, I'm going to share a quote from a guy called Andy Bannister. He did a video on SOLAS CPC, which is a fantastic apologetics organization. And this video was called Where is God in a Coronavirus World? Andy Bannister says this: along comes this virus, and what's it doing? It's primarily predating on the weak, the poor, the elderly, those who simply don't measure up biologically. It's thinning out the weak. We see survival of the fittest in all of its glory. But isn't it interesting that we're not responding that way? Most societies have crashed their economies in order to protect the weak, the vulnerable, and the elderly. Fascinating. So what's the point in reading that? When the coronavirus was rampant across the world, everybody was looking for a solution. And part of that solution was a vaccine. And I'm not about to get into a debate about anti-vaxxers or people who took the vaccine. That's not what this is about. But it seemed that science had the answer, that scientists would find a way for us to be cured of COVID or to be immunized against it. All right. But when the vaccine did begin to roll out, what did we do? We started to give it first of all to people who were shielding, and I had people in my family who were shielding. And I remember looking at the list of the vaccination list, and you know, finding myself very, very low down on the list because I wasn't someone who was shielding. Thankfully, my family members were able to have access to the vaccine before me because they were shielding. Now, science, the point is that science can create a vaccine, but science can't tell us who should have the vaccine first. You need ethics for that. You need morality for that. There's a different type of question. Science can create a vaccine, but science can't tell us who should have it first. And if we, according to the quote that Andy Bannister says, if we kind of go along with a social Darwinism, which says, you know what, survival of the fittest, the greatest, the fittest and the strongest, they're the ones who should be leading society, then I don't think those who were most vulnerable would have got the vaccine first, right? We actually had a very different response, as Andy Bannister says. We put people who were the most vulnerable first, all right? So what's my point here? There are certain limitations of science. Science is a great discipline. We've had a vaccine, and there's, as I said, so many benefits to science, but we need to put it in its correct place. And there are some questions of meaning, of purpose. Why does the universe exist? What is my purpose in life? And it's really interesting, actually, that there are many scientists who are Christians. I think that's a very important point to make, because for some reason, I think we have this belief in our culture that if you're a scientist, you must be a naturalist, you must be an atheist. And that's just not true. It's not fair, actually. It's a very poor representation of people who give their life to the exploration of science. Yeah. Many scientists who are Christian, people like Rosalind Picard, she is, you know, leading a lot of the conversations around AI. Someone like Sir Francis Collins, former head of the Human Genome Project, is a Christian. So many of those scientists will say that their work actually points them to God, not away from him. And so clearly, if you have individuals who are Christians and who are scientists, the idea that science cancels God, it just falls apart, doesn't it? All right. So we have been thinking about the place of science in the world, not the erasure of science. And I think it doesn't look good on Christians to be like, you know, God, 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 and we kind of erase science. We can appreciate what science can tell us about the world, but also God's work in the world, right? I'm going to leave you with a quote from C.S. Lewis, quite a famous one, but in it he says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." And so as a Christian, as a believer, you don't have to have this sacred secular divide in your life, all right? Your faith, your worldview, the worldview that you have, you can appreciate what science can tell us about the world. And you can see how that points you, like the scientists I quoted before, or I mentioned before, Picard and Francis Collins, how it points us to God and his work in the world. So I hope you found today's episode really helpful. I'll leave a load of resources in the show notes, but tune in again next time.